The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. And the shortage, we just got over, or at least looked like we were getting light at the end of the tunnel when it came to the chip shortage. Now it's batteries. Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, joins us now. There's a shortage of raw materials for the batteries on which so much of the car industry now depends.
Yeah, so basically what analysts are predicting is there's going to be a really tight squeeze towards till the end of the decade for these crucial the raw materials. So obviously, if you think about it, batteries are the way forward, you know, the entire energy supply. So these are really the raw materials of the future. So whoever controls those has, you know, a big say in what we do in the future.
And this is the lithium ions, not the old style lead acid. This is the EV battery.
So the key components for those are lithium, obviously, cobalt and nickel. And basically China control the bulk of that. So it's a bizarre situation that we've got ourselves into, that the US and Europe are competing with China and yet they're dependent on them for those resources to compete with China. So that's the situation we're in at the moment. And that's likely to continue, as I said, till the end of this decade. It'll be the next decade before we actually see any change in that. And so we've lost that war already.
It's not just like that will impact. I say just. Because the impact will be significant just with the pure EVs. But there are so many cars now that are hybrids that depend also, I assume, on having lithium ion batteries in the car as well, that it's going to have a huge impact across the entire industry.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It will. And it depends how much that squeezes. As I said, analysts are predicting it'll be a really tight squeeze till the end of the decade. But how bad it'll get, we just don't know. But as I said, the key player in all of this at the moment is China, and likely to remain so for a long time.
If there is any availability, I assume that means everything goes up in cost.
Yes, that's the other problem as well, because if supply tightens then and demand increases, prices increase. And one of the key things around our whole electric future is this idea that at some time in the future, electric car prices will come down. When they come down, you will be able to walk into a car dealership and the petrol, the diesel and the EV will all be the same price, if not cheaper. And therefore, governments won't have to subsidise them anymore. If that doesn't happen, that means, number one, obviously, government subsidies have to continue, or else we just say, look, you're on your own here. And or do we meet the targets we think we're going to meet? And remember, these are global targets. These aren't just Ireland deciding 2030. So yeah, huge pressures on that whole electric car supply chain.
And presumably as well, where you talk about competing with China in terms of manufacture, we also compete with China in terms of consumption, because their EV market is growing like a weed.
Mm. Well, that's the thing, you see. And there's only going to be limited resources. So who's going to get them? And if you have China controlling these resources, obviously they're going to either, you know, sell them at a higher price outside of China and keep them the majority for themselves. But I mean, it's extraordinary how they've managed to get control. If you look at the likes of the Congo, which produces most of the cobalt in the world, I think it's more than 70%. China controls 15 of the 19 mines in Congo.
Oh, so it's not just domestic production,
it's international production that China has taken over. So we can't change where these raw materials are in the world, but we can change who actually refines them. And at the moment, the bulk of that refinery comes from China.
Is it for political reasons that they are constraining the supply, a la an OPEC or that style of thing? Or is it just that there isn't enough supply and they're keeping it for themselves?
There isn't enough supply, and it's a matter of increasing that supply. And as I said, then the control of the supply can be there, but if you're not in control of it. So we'll see lots of car companies over the next decade trying to change that supply chain in favour of them. But at the moment, it's stacked very heavily in favour of China, which I don't think people realise. It's not a case of the raw materials getting them out of the ground or whatever. It's just, you know, the refinery of them.
And what about then the growth in EVs around the world? Obviously, in Europe, it is a significant political issue, and we're seeing that come to fruition as more and more EVs sell. I mean, that the Irish sales are increasing very significantly. What about around the rest of the world? What about particularly the US?
Yeah, the US, it's still slow. But obviously, Biden has brought in this new climate law now. And what he's doing is he's giving €4,000 or $4,000 tax credit if you buy a second-hand EV and $7,500 if you buy a new electric car. But the interesting thing about that as well is what he's trying to do is block China's involvement in the car industry in the US, because you can only get the credit if you buy a car that's basically the vast majority of it is manufactured in the US. So apparently 70% of the electric cars for sale in the US will not be eligible for these credits.
Although I assume Tesla, I think Kia has big manufacturing and Hyundai is big manufacturing in the US, don't they?
Tesla will. And what's interesting is they were excluded from these tax credits originally because they'd hit the 200,000 mark. If you sold X number of cars, you didn't get credits anymore. So now they've reversed that. But so it'll be interesting to see how quick the car makers can respond to that. I don't see that they can, because these things take years to develop. But also there's problems at the moment. The World Trade Organization may have an issue with them doing this. So we'll see what happens. But that's his attempts to block China.
It'll also be interesting to see how quick the consumer comes around to accepting it, because when the last time gas went above $4 at the pump in the US, there was a huge shift to diesels, particularly in the truck and light truck market. There doesn't seem to be the same thing with EVs, even with the high gas prices. People aren't getting nudged into electric vehicles the way you might have thought.
Yeah, I think the problem is that even when gas prices are high in the States, they're still really low in comparison to us. So I don't think they ever get that high to really make people think, God, I have to stop driving. And also, you know, you can buy cars very cheaply in the States, but EVs are expensive. So it's the same issue it is across the world. So
yeah, it's ironic to see them complaining at $4 a gallon when the equivalent is 10 over here.
Even when I think it tipped nearly at, what was it, 5 and 5, maybe even 6, they were going, oh my God, this is horrendous. And you're going, no, this is fine.
It's still half price.
We're much more room for expansion.
In other news, NCT centres, it turns out, have different pass rates depending on where they are. Now, this, of course, may be the community of cars that they serve rather than a different approach during the or from the different centres. But any particular trends evident from the different pass rates?
Now, Anton, we assume the same test is done in every centre. I think this really comes down to probably age of cars. And we see this with new car sales. There are counties that have a much higher proportion of new car sales than other counties. And I thought it was interesting that the lowest pass rate in the country is Donegal. I'd say they're very old cars in Donegal. Probably their roads, no offence to the Donegal County Council, but I'm sure their roads.
If you're listening in Donegal and want to make comments to Jared, it's 53106.
Just slated the whole lot of them. And maybe their roads are not quite, you know, they might have a lot of potholes that we don't have. So I think all of those things come down to it. But, you know, I doubt if you went from one centre to the other, you'd really see that much of a difference.
So the lowest then, the lowest pass rate centre is Derrybeg in Donegal.
Yeah.
And then the highest pass rate, I think, is Deansgrange in Deansgrange. That's South City suburb.
Yeah, and then Port Laois, they're kind of tying there for the best. So they're at 60%, which is quite a difference from 39 in your lowest to 60%. But the average around the country, you see, is about 54. So the half of the cars that go through the NCT fail. And mainly they do so because we wait for the NCT to tell us what we need to do with our car. And then we get it fixed and then we come back.
What of the market as we stand here in Ireland beyond EVs? Because we talked a little bit about EVs. How is the process of normalisation post-COVID and post the chip crisis going? Is it looking like it's meant to look, or is it still all over the shop?
What with car sales? It's still way down on 2019. So we're up on last year, but last year's not a year that you can compare to anything. So it's still down considerably on 2019. As I said, in terms of EVs, EVs are selling and they're increasing. And they're actually nearly doubling share year on year, which is amazing.
From a low base, it has to be said, and with quite a way to go.
It's still very low. I mean, even if you include plug-in hybrids, 20% of new cars sold so far this year are an electric car. But that still means 80% aren't. And about 50% of those are pure petrol and diesel. So we have a long way to go.
And what about consumer understanding when it comes to EVs? Because one of the things that's now becoming an issue is charging speeds versus range. In other words, you don't need a long range if you have the capacity to get 80% charge in 10 minutes. But all of that means understanding, whatever, 210 volt. Do people understand all that when they're purchasing EVs?
I think when they're purchasing them, yes, but it's getting people to make that leap to even have EVs on their horizon. That's the issue, because you still get the same questions of, but should they only go about 150 kilometres? No, actually, they go 400. Do they really? But should they take a lifetime to charge? No, you can actually. So there's big problems. There's big, big knowledge gaps still. And that's really the people who are into EVs understand all of that, and the buyers, and they're well versed in all of that. It's the people who don't even consider them because they think, they're just too much hassle.
Yeah, I was reading recently, there's a website now set up recommending EVs as in reviewing EVs, different ones, as tow vehicles for caravans. That's some change in 10 years to even being able to consider using an electric vehicle to tow.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they're coming on leaps and bounds, but people just haven't moved along with them in some cases.
Ger, thank you as always. That is Geraldine Herbert, who is motoring editor at the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.